I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, many people prefer the taste of Mexican Coke, saying that that sweetness of its cane sugar is more tasty than regular Coke made with high fructose corn syrup. Well, now Coca-Cola says it will create a brand new Coke made from cane sugar. And some are saying it is a healthier alternative, but is it really? What does the science tell us about the differences between high fructose corn syrup and cane sugar? That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Later in the hour, we're going to get the latest on the Jeffrey Epstein scandal and how it's rocking MAGA in Washington, D.C. But first, do you like Mexican Coke, the imported tall bottle of Coca-Cola that is made with cane sugar? It's popular. Some people are willing to pay a premium for it. And now Coca-Cola Corporate says it's going to make an American Mexican Coke. They're going to be switching to high fructose corn syrup and put in cane sugar. And some are calling this a win for Make America Healthy Again. But is it really? We're joined by Dr. Melanie Jay, Professor of Medicine and Health at NYU Grossman School of Medicine. And Dr. Melanie, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I think there is a lot of confusion about high fructose corn syrup and what it is, what it does. We've heard Robert F. Kennedy Jr. call it poison. And some people think that switching to cane sugar. So first off, to be clear, not all Coca-Cola made in America is going to be made with cane. They're talking about making a specialty brand of Coca-Cola for people who want to buy that. So there's still going to be the Coke that we have now is still going to be there. They're just talking about another sub-brand of Coca-Cola with cane sugar. Do you see a distinction that makes a difference between Coca-Cola, a can of Coca-Cola or a bottle with cane sugar versus one with high fructose corn syrup?
Absolutely not. If it has the same amount of sugar, whether it's coming from high fructose corn syrup or from table sugar or cane sugar, they're both unhealthy. It doesn't give you any health benefit. And I can go into why and the difference between the two.
Well, go ahead and do that because I'm really interested because this is logical fallacy, the wisdom of the ancients. They think, well, this is the good stuff because this is how it used to be. They switched to high fructose corn syrup because it is cheaper. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, both table sugar, cane sugar, and high fructose corn syrup are highly processed. So table sugar is made from sugar cane or sugar beets, and it goes through multiple refining steps, crushing, extracting the juice, purifying, decolorizing, drying, and you get this white granulated sugar. High fructose corn syrup starts out as cornstarch, and you also have a lot of chemical processing to turn it into the high fructose corn syrup. And they both have a lot of fructose. They both have fructose and glucose. So table sugar is 50% fructose and 50% glucose. High fructose corn syrup is 55% fructose and 45% glucose. So you get a little bit more of fructose in the high fructose corn syrup, but not enough to really make a difference to the individual who's drinking the soda. In both cases, the soda is providing way too much sugar, way more than what the American Heart Association recommends for your entire day.
Yeah, if the Mexican Coke was so good, why do they have their own diabetes problem in Mexico? They do.
Yeah, I mean, diabetes and obesity is a problem worldwide now.
So,
absolutely.
So there's no health benefit for cane sugar? That's not any better for you?
It is not any better from you at all. And when you have sugar at the levels that are in a Coke, For instance, a 12 ounces of a Coke has 140 calories and 39 grams of sugar. So think of 4 grams of sugar as a teaspoon. So it has about 10 teaspoons of sugar. For the 20 ounces of Coke, you have 65 grams of sugar, or 16 teaspoons of sugar. And we would never have that much sugar on our own. So it is a big problem.
Having it in liquid form, the question we're talking about is insulin spikes, sugar spikes, insulin response in our system that creates type 2 diabetes. And some people have, you watch these YouTube videos of these experts, so-called experts. They're not experts. But they're saying, well, high fructose corn syrup is more quickly absorbed by the body and causes the a more insulin resistance than cane sugar. And we don't, I'm sure science does not see that. Is that right?
No, it's not the high fructose corn syrup that's absorbed more quickly. It's taking in your sugar in liquid form. So when you drink a bottle or of any sort of liquid, like, juice that has a lot of sugar, or soda that has a lot of sugar, or like an Arizona iced tea, and you drink it on an empty stomach, it doesn't have to get digested in the stomach and go right to your small intestine, and it can get absorbed into your bloodstream quite quickly. And having too much sugar in your blood can cause damage to your blood vessels and your organs. And then your own insulin, brings it down, but insulin helps you store it as fat and can cause other issues when you have too much insulin. When you have sugar in food, it's mixed with fiber and fat and a lot of other things, and so it takes longer to digest in your stomach. So then it takes longer to get to your small intestine to get absorbed into your bloodstream. And so it's not the high fructose corn syrup that's absorbed more quickly. It's the liquid, it's the liquid calories. The other thing about liquid calories that's quite interesting is that when we drink our sugar in liquid form, our bodies don't recognize it as food in the same way in terms of making us full. So we have the 240 calories from our 20-ounce Coca-Cola. We don't eat less calories at other parts of our day, right? We are still hungry for the same amount as if we were drinking water. Whereas there was a study that even if you give someone jelly beans compared to a sweetened beverage, you'll eat less calories sometimes of other things to compensate. And so you'll feel fuller probably from the food because it expands your stomach in a different way, it signals differently to the brain, and it affects hunger differently.
Right. So we're getting ready to take a break here, but when I come back, there are a lot of people here who swear that Mexican Coke tastes better than regular Coke. And I wonder about that. But it comes in a different form. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's, in the big old-fashioned bottle. If there's a placebo effect that's connected to that. Can you really taste the difference? Real quickly, can you taste the difference between these two sugars?
I believe people. If people say they can taste the difference, I believe it. And a lot of people say that the taste is cleaner and it doesn't linger as long as high fructose corn syrup, but it doesn't mean that you should drink more of it, and it doesn't mean it's a health food. So as a special treat, you might prefer one versus the other, but as a daily thing to drink, it can cause a lot of health problems.
Well, I wonder if Coca-Cola begins to make American version of the Mexican Coke and that becomes available, if people will still notice that and prefer that and be willing to pay a premium for that, or they just like the idea of this exotic form of Coca-Cola and they're willing, that's the attraction. I don't know. I would like to hear from listeners. What do they prefer? What do they like? What have they noticed? The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. I'm going to get Jenny on the air when we come back from the break. Stay with us.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
This is Ashley Alvarado, President and CEO of Texas Public Radio. The recent defunding of public media was a serious blow to TPR and stations across the country. But when we turned to you, you rose to the challenge, and your response was extraordinary. Thanks to your generosity, our emergency fundraising drive was a powerful reminder of the strength of our community. You showed just how deeply you value independent journalism, classical music, and the role TPR plays in bringing us together. Defunded? Yes. Defeated? Never. But our work is far from over. You can still give at tpr.org/resiliency, and every gift strengthens our future. Thank you for being the heart and the hope of TPR.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half hour, we're going to be talking about Jeffrey Epstein and the ongoing scandal, the allegations that there is a cover-up happening in the administration to prevent details about the Epstein files from going public. But right now we're talking about Coke, Mexican Coke, the cane sugar Coke, or the Coke that you get, domestically, which would be with high fructose corn syrup. And what's the difference? And is one better than the other? We're talking about that. And what, if one tastes better than the other, you can call in 833-877-8255. Let's go to Jenny. And Jenny, you're on the air.
Hi, David. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling because I just find this a little... It's just yet one of those other things about some of the things that Trump does. He's talking about doing this deal with Coke, but do you know that WLRN Public Media reported that the Trump administration quietly lifted the ban on sugar owned by his neighbors, the South Florida family, the Fanjew brothers, Jose Pepe Fanjew. They own this plantation, and the reason that they haven't been able to import their sugar into the United States is because they use slave labor. They use forced labor on their plantations, the Fanjew brothers did. And that's why there was a ban put in place on importing their sugar. Trump administration lifted that ban. And I just find it really kind of the way that this administration kind of does something over here and does something over there. I mean, he was talking recently about farmers taking ownership of their laborers. And, you know, and then he talks about that the detainees at Alligator Alcatraz will be put to work.
Wow. All right. Well, Jenny, thank you. Well, our expert is not an expert in that area, but you bring up some interesting points. We hadn't brought up the Donald Trump connection here, but, you know, he says he takes credit for getting Coca-Cola to make this change. I don't know about that. We're not really talking about that. We're really trying to help people understand the differences and why cane sugar is really not going to be a healthy alternative for Coca-Cola. Is that right, Melanie? Dr. J, is that cane sugar is not healthier than high fructose corn syrup?
Cane sugar is not healthier than high fructose corn syrup. I would love to see just less sugar overall in our diets. Let's not, you know, maybe we could decrease the amount of sugar in Coca-Cola. That would make a difference. But substituting one for the other is not going to change health outcomes.
All right, let's go to another caller. We have Margaret. Margaret, hey, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I do believe there is a metabolic difference between cane sugar and high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup, for one thing, is usually GMO-based, and it's a highly processed food, which we are trying to get away from. Also, I wanted to point out that our favorite Texas grocer, H-E-B, has created an entire brand called Select Ingredients, marketed for products without high fructose corn syrup. So they're listening to their consumers, their customers, and they know that their consumers know what they want.
Well, Margaret, thank you so much for that call and letting us know about that. So is there a metabolic difference between, is it, you know, trying to say that high fructose corn syrup is processed food, but cane sugar isn't? I mean, is that true?
Yeah, that is not true, actually. Both are highly processed. And I explained earlier before the break that both require they're processed from different sources. One's from cane sugar or beets, which is a table sugar. The other is from corn. But both require a lot of chemical processing to get to the form where it's used for soda or anything else we use it for. And once it's absorbed by the body, it has nearly identical metabolic impact. So both get to the bloodstream, both when it's high trigger insulin, both increase our triglycerides, both the fructose in both of them goes to our liver and causes fatty liver. Again, cane sugar is 50% fructose. High fructose corn syrup is maybe a tiny bit more at 55% fructose. So you're getting a little bit more fructose. Maybe on a population level, if everything was changed and we get sugar from a lot of other sources, there might be a slight decrease in impact. But for an individual making a choice to drink one type of soda for the other, it really will have negligible difference.
So there's a lot of misinformation in the public sphere about this Make America Healthy Again movement and some of the things that they're pushing. And this is one of the things that they're pushing: get away from high fructose corn syrup and move to cane sugar, as if that's going to make America healthier. It will not. But also we could throw in the mix these what we're hearing about seed oil, concerns about seed oil, and as if anything made with seed oil or seed oil itself is automatically unhealthy. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. So there's been some concern about seed oils like soybean, corn, canola, safflower oil as being highly processed. And the thing is that a lot of those oils, particular things like canola oil, which have been very much vilified, actually are monounsaturated fats that do not increase risk of heart disease compared to beef fat or beef tallow, and they're more affordable. And like avocado oil, for instance, is a really good oil for you, but it's very, very expensive. The thing about those oils is that they're often used in very unhealthy foods. So they're often used in French fries or deep frying things.
Twinkies, deep fried Twinkies in seed oil are bad.
It's not the seed oil, it's what we're making, right? So it seems like the same thing with table sugar. It's not necessarily the table sugar, it's how much we're putting in, and that we're putting in into these highly processed and unhealthy foods. So I would agree that we want to decrease seed oils in that context. We want to decrease our reliance on really highly fatty fried foods. But it's not necessarily the seed oils themselves. It's the French fries.
Yeah, it's this reverse connectivity that we look at. Oh, people who eat these things that are deep fried are having, they're obese, they're having heart problems, they're having diabetes. Therefore, it must be the oil. It's like saying, well, the people who in the hospital who have IV bags, they're all dying. It's the IV bags. No, it's not the IV bags. You can make that connection, but it's wrong. What we're looking at is what they are eating. It's not the seed oil. It's eating so much fried food. That's the concern.
Exactly. And you'd have less seed oil if you had less fried food. So, you know, if you... you know, there's some case against seed oils with the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3, but really for most people, it's what are you using the seed oil for?
Let's go to another caller. I'm going to go to Loretta. Yeah. Let's go to Loretta. And Loretta, you're on the air.
Hi. So there's a really good recipe for chocolate molasses biscotti. So what about molasses? I know it has, if you get unsulfured, it has lots of iron. What do you think?
So just like blackstrap molasses?
Yes. Is that a little better?
Okay. You know anything about that, Dr. J?
Well, molasses still has sugar. It has a little bit more minerals, so maybe it's a little bit better. The glycemic index is a little bit lower than white sugar, but it still raises the blood sugar. It's a lot more expensive, And it can't be added to everything. But I wouldn't say it's a health food, but maybe it's a little, maybe it is a little bit better. But it's still overall, how much sugar are you getting with it? How much are you using in your food? You still don't want to use a ton of it. Other sugars like monk fruit sweetener that is used that doesn't raise the sugar, you know, your blood glucose level as much. And so it's a little bit, it's more diabetic friendly and it doesn't cause insulin spikes. And so that's used in a lot of foods as well. So I wouldn't say the molasses is a health food either.
So, you know, you mentioned monk fruit, and that's one of those substitute sweeteners. We have a lot of those available now. Some of them are very artificial, like saccharin, aspartame. And then we have, some that are natural occurring and have stevia. So, but they are also getting a bad rap by some saying those any artificial sweeteners are negative, will hurt your health, will hurt your microbiome. But is the science telling us that?
Well, I certainly wouldn't peg most artificial sweeteners to be health foods either. But if you're looking at which is worse, having a 20 ounce of Coke or 20 ounce of Diet Coke that has aspartame, which is one of the ones that are shown to possibly cause some problems, I'd much rather have my patients have the Diet Coke. Because that much sugar in the regular Coke is much more toxic to the body than a little bit of aspartame that's put in the Diet Coke. Neither are healthy. Both are really processed. Both Cokes have a lot of artificial colors and things that we don't want in our bodies. Water, seltzer are better, but usually if you're talking about risk benefit, it's usually better to replace it with one of the artificial sweeteners.
So, Does artificial sweetener still cause an insulin spike?
No.
So, I mean, I can look at a picture of a chocolate cake and I'm going to get an insulin spike. Sometimes it's not a physical mm-hmm. stimuli. It's just, the association.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, that the artificial sweeteners are going to be better than drinking, 65 grams or 16 teaspoons of sugar in your Coca-Cola.
So do you think we need to be talking about this more scientifically? What is better for us? This whole thing about cane sugar and all that, we're avoiding the big question, which is like, what are we going to do about diabetes in America?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we need to help make choices for Americans easier. Some things we can, individually, if we go to a party or like a church event or something and all they're serving is regular soda, then a lot of times we'll just drink the soda. Whereas if there's other choices like water, diet soda, health seltzer, and we can ask the places where we work and the places where we gather in community to offer more choices to people so they're not just drinking a soda. If we are trying to make individual choices, thinking about sodas and sweets as being something that's just occasionally, like once in a while, as a treat, but not something that we have every day. And really to get our bodies used to having less sugar. I mean, our tastes get accustomed to what we feed our bodies every day. So for some people, if they're drinking soda all the time, when they go to drink water, it tastes bad to them, or something less sweet tastes bad. But we can acclimate when my patients start cutting the drinks in, their juices in half with water, and then a quarter and a third, third and then a quarter, their bodies get used to it, their tastes get used to it. And then when they go back to drink the regular soda, they find it way too sweet. And so we just have to kind of get used to having less sugar and also demand less sugar in our foods. I mean, there's sugar in so much of our foods. If you have a teaspoon of ketchup, you're getting a teaspoon of sugar. And most of us, when we have ketchup, have more than a teaspoon. And so it's so easy to exceed the recommendations of the American Heart Association, which is recommending somewhere between 25 to 36 grams of sugar or 6 to 9 teaspoons, when we're getting a teaspoon here, a teaspoon there, 2 teaspoons in our yogurt, 3 teaspoons in our salad dressing. And so we really have to look and see where the added sugar is coming from.
All right. Dr. Melanie Jay, professor of medicine and health at NYU Grossman School of Medicine. Thank you so much for coming on and helping us tease out the differences between high fructose corn syrup and cane sugar. Essentially, to the body, they're the same thing. So thanks for pointing that out. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.